All right, you're back in the DFSR. You don't know how lucky you are. And we're here with our daily Major League Baseball podcast for Thursday, June 23rd. I'm here with Nick Rodriguez, one of our baseball contributors. He's here for his third day in a row on the podcast. Nick, how's it going, man?
It's been fun.
Yeah, this has been a good time. We've Nick's been doing the long ball articles. He hit again last night, which I'll get on in a second. So we've been saying he's got the crystal ball when it comes to home runs. We here at DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short, here to help you build all of your DFS lineups for Major League Baseball, also NFL and NBA when the time comes. You head on over to the site, you get a bunch of free content that we have going up every single day with free picks, pitchers, stacks, weather, just about everything you need to get started, and you grab a free 3-day trial of our projection system powered by our good friends at Lineup Lab. You go in there, you hit calculate, it spits out a bunch of lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. You plug and play them, and you're good to go. We're going to talk about a short double slate of baseball today that Nick and I were talking sort of off the air. We're like, feels like this is going to be a quick one. But because it seems like the decisions here aren't that close. All right, Nick, I'm going to read you a list of pitchers and tell me on an excitement level, 1 to 10, how excited you are here. Ready? Here we go. Rick Porcello, Ricky Nolasco. Those are the best ones, by the way. Albert Suarez, Daniel Norris, Jared Eichhoff, John Neese, Adrian Sampson, and James Shields.
level in excitement, 1 through 10.
Is it 0?
10 being the highest, I say it's around a 2.
I was going to say -3. I was going to go off board. Off board with a negative. I took a look last night at this early slate of games, and I was just like, man. I mean, I feel like a couple times I've said that, oh, you know, this is the worst slate of pitchers. This is the worst slate of pitchers. This is really, really bad. When I'm looking at this list, and is there like an obvious place to go here between this that list of just a pitcher? I mean, I guess like not all these guys are created equal, but. You know, of those guys I mentioned on the early slate, who stands out here?
I mean, I'm going to start off by saying nobody is safe, but I think the chalkiest play of the day will be Rick Porcello.
Yeah.
I think out of all of them, he's been the best. And the White Sox offense, they woke up last night, but they've been sleeping lately, and he's just the best option.
Yeah, he's by far the highest money line favorite. I think it's over 200 coming in. He's having just kind of a Rick Porcello season. I mean, this is what he does. So the K's are up a little bit, which helps him. And he is by far the highest money line guy coming in and with the best matchup probably. So I think you're right. He's probably the chalk play. I'm going to make a case against him briefly, but shortly when we get to the bats, but after him, if I didn't want to play Porcello, who do you think?
I think after Rick Porcello, the next best option is Ricky Nolasco. I don't say that confidently, but he's playing at home. The Phillies strike out quite a bit, so that's in his advantage, and he's put together some nice starts as of late, so I think I'll roll the dice with Nolasco.
It's funny, when you look at their numbers, they're pretty similar, right? So, which is the case for that is that their price is much different. So, speaking just about FanDuel, you know, Porcello at 9,200, Nolasco at 6,900. That's a pretty big difference. But then you look at their stats, and Porcello 8 Ks per nine, Nolasco 7.8 Ks per nine. That's pretty much right in line with each other. Porcello 1.7 walks per nine, Nolasco 1.5 walks per nine. Porcello 3.9 xFIP, Nolasco 3.9 xFIP. So the difference is them being, Nolasco's gotten a little unlucky with his ERA because the ERA is up by five, up near five, thanks to a left on base percentage. But I don't know, their numbers look really so similar to me for the price differences that I think I would lean Nolasco just because of the price. What do you think there?
I can't argue with that with you one bit. The prices is a big difference. You mentioned the numbers. They sounded practically the same to me.
I'm going
to
tweet about that later because I think just make myself sound smart. But
the only thing is that the Phillies offense has been pretty hot.
Mm-hmm.
in this series in Minnesota. So I think I'll give the edge to Porcello.
I think the edge to Porcello goes mostly because of public perception. And I think that is an important thing if you are, like when we're talking about fading somebody, you know, for a cash game, it's hard to be wrong about it. It's difficult to be wrong about the guy who most people will play because it's just a hard spot to be contrarian in for cash games. But if I'm looking at just the two guys, like pitcher A, pitcher B style, they're like the same. So clearly, Porcello has the win in his favor, which really does matter. On DraftKings, it's easiest thing ever for me. I'm just playing them both and moving out of my day. Like I'm not even considering any of these other pitchers on this slate. But yeah, like when I look at those two guys lined up with each other, it's hard pressed to tell the difference just from a number standpoint. And Nolasco has a better opponent in the Phillies, who are slightly worse than the White Sox, who are also bad. I mean, is there any other pitcher for you that you're looking at on this early thing, or is it only these two guys?
I'm looking to actually stack against James Shields. I know he's really cheap, so people will probably be on him on DraftKings or two pitcher sites. So I'll be happy to stack against him while everybody else suffers.
Yeah, the James Shields has really just had the wheels fall off the cart at this point. I don't want to say he's dead man walking, but it's really damn close between he just has been such a stain. And I guess that leads us into the offensive side of things today. The Red Sox, if I'm really only looking at those two pitchers, which I really wouldn't advise getting away from either of those two guys. And I don't mind even like sort of flip flopping them between lineups. When we look at the offensive side, the Red Sox come in on the day with the highest expected run rate, right around 6.5, which isn't really close. No other team is really close. Is this where you're looking mostly on offense today?
Yes, for the early slate, I'm all over the Red Sox today.
So here's what I was going to, I'm with you, and I think most other people will be too. I mean, they have 6.5 expected runs. The next closest team, it looks like, is the Tigers at 5.3, so more than a full run below. I mean, the Red Sox are projecting even more for either the teams in cores today, which tells you a lot about James Shields and it tells you a lot about the Red Sox offense as well. So here's the I think the big question here is this. On FanDuel, you can only start four players from a team, right? And we already mentioned Porcello as probably the top pitching play of the day. Do you play Porcello and then only roster three Red Sox bats, or do you play Nolasco and then at a discount and then roster four Red Sox bats? Does that make sense what I'm asking? Like, I think that's a real choice today.
I think personally for cash games, I would probably roster Porcello and three Red Sox bats.
Interesting. See, I think I'm going to go the other way. I think I'm going to, just because of what we talked about earlier with the similarities between their sort of pitcher profile, I think I'm fine rostering Nolasco in this case and then getting the four, because basically what I can do, if I play Nolasco, what I can end up doing is definitely playing Ortiz,
yes,
definitely playing Betts, and probably definitely playing Bogarts. I think I can play all three of those guys and then like another bat just thrown in, like Pedroia or Jackie Bradley Jr. or really just somebody else. I think it's close, but that I think is where I'm going to trend going. And yeah, I just think I think Nolasco and Porcello are so similar that I think I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I can't argue with you. I just think Porcello has the better chance to get the W.
Yeah,
The W is so crucial on a site like FanDuel.
Oh, don't even get me started, because I feel like there's been multiple days where, you know, bullpens have blown wins and losing 12 points is just a disaster out of a pitcher. And yeah, I'm with you. It's close. This is going to probably be something I go back and forth on throughout the rest of the day. One thing that will be interesting today is because some of these early games are when teams tend to shake their lineups up a little bit because they're coming off, yes, if they're coming off an evening game or the day before game, or it's a travel day. I think you have a chance today to see some lineup shakeup when it comes down to it. So we're going to be monitoring lineups as they come in. If you saw, like, I don't know, if any of those Red Sox guys I mentioned get a day off and someone moves up in the lineup, I think you could see some real value from their team, though that might affect the run line. After the Red Sox, and I think we agree that you need to play just about as many Red Sox as you can on this early slate. I think that's going to be a chalk move. I don't think that's going to get by really anybody. After those guys, I don't think we need to go position by position here, but give me a couple other either teams you're looking at, or if you have a guy or two that you like to sort of round out your lineups.
I like, if you're fading the Red Sox because you think James Shields is going to have a big day, which I don't see why, but you never know. Mm-hmm. I would stack the Tigers.
Okay.
They've been hot. Steven Moya hit 2 home runs yesterday. Miguel Cabrera's been hot. Ian Kinsler's.
Yeah, he went yard. Some damage. Cabrera went yard yesterday as well. Yeah.
So if I'm, let's say you can't afford the Red Sox or you're just looking to fade, I think the Tigers, 5.5 run total projection, I think they're the next best option.
Yeah, they come in pretty high as well, all things considered. Like I said, you know, Moya goes yard twice. I think Victor Martinez is pretty much, if he's in the lineup, which he should be, is pretty much a must play at catcher. Again, no matter kind of who you play, only 3,100 there, so it's not going to cost you much. I kind of don't mind some of these. On the flip side of that game, I actually don't mind some of these Mariners against the lefty, Norris. If the Mariners tend to shake their lineup up when they have a lefty on the mound, like they'll bat Kettle Marte near the top of the lineup, sometimes they'll bat Aoki there, Franklin Gutierrez can move up. They will throw some righty bats, and I know their run projection is lower than, I mean, significantly lower than the Red Sox and also lower than the Tigers, but they do platoon matchups pretty well. So I think I would go the other way. I think I would look for pricing. Like Nelson Cruz at 3,600 on FanDuel is fantastic against a lefty. And then that's going to be another situation where I'm going to look at where their lineup shakes out. Because if they do stack righties near the top of the lineup, then some of those guys are coming pretty cheap.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think Nelson Cruz is a heck of a play for 3,600 against a southpaw.
Yeah, I think that's going to be another move that you see sort of as a chalky thing, because in the public perception, and it's true, Nelson Cruz is fantastic against lefties for his career, and that's really where his bread is buttered. All right, I think we got the early slate pretty much covered there. It's Porcello, Nolasco, Red Sox, and then, you know, a few odds and ends thrown in for your cash games. And you know, we kind of talk in generalities around some of these things in the podcast. One, because we just don't know about the batting lineups coming out, and we don't know how those lines are going to move come closer to game time. But it's time for me to reiterate that if you want to just have this stuff kind of done for you in real time, that our projection system does handle these things. So when lineups are announced and when, you know, lines move and when there's changes or whatever, you know, our system accounts for all that in real time. And it counts for that when you put together your lineup. So podcasting and some of the free content, like I said, that we're just kind of giving a bird's eye view of some of this stuff, but the projections, all this stuff is actually accounted for. All right, so let's get into this now, the 4-game evening slate. We have a game in Coors. We're back to Coors. I know. I have such mixed feelings about Coors for reasons I can probably get into a little bit later and filibuster on that a little bit when we get to the bats maybe, but we have 4 games. One of them's in Coors. It sort of strikes me similar to what happened with the early slate, but let's talk about the pitching options first here. Is there a pitcher or two that just stands out above the bunch on the evening slate?
I think the pitcher that stands out is John Lester, moving into a big spacious park at Marlins Park, going against Chen. I like his chances to pick up the W. And this guy's just been dominant. I don't see how you can fade him in cash games with his dominance and Vegas being all over him.
Yeah, Lester will probably be the chalk play this time around. His strikeout to walk ratio is fantastic. He's, again, like sort of like what I said before with Porcello, like Lester's just having a Lester kind of year, though one couple encouraging things for him, strikeouts are up and walks are down over his career numbers. The ERA is a little bit better than the xFIP. The Marlins, how are the Marlins against lefties?
They have some guys that can do some damage, but it's John Lester.
Yeah, Ozuna and Stanton sort of around the middle of the order, but I'm with you here. I think Lester is the chalk play. After him, though, because we get into a price problem when if we're rostering Lester, it's really difficult to roster Lester and bats that are coming out of Coors. You know, Lester 11-4 on FanDuel, 11-7 on DraftKings. If I wanted to maybe stack some more bats, maybe in cash, but probably more in tournaments, who's the guy that's like the next rung down?
I know you want me to say Matt Harvey. I know you're a big Matt Harvey guy,
Well, I hope
but
you don't think I'm leading you. I'm not like putting it on a tee and just having you do it. I don't want you to say anybody, but go ahead. So you're saying you think I want you to say Matt Harvey, but
I'm
you're
actually going with Matt Whistler.
interesting. Tell me why.
The Mets offense just been struggling without David Wright, Lucas Duda, Conforto on a big slump. So Whistler's been pretty good this year. And Mets strike out over 20% of the time. So I'll take my chances with Whistler.
Yeah, this is interesting. I'm of two minds here. On the one hand, there's clearly something off with Matt Harvey, right? So Vegas and even some outward projection systems seem to think that like the turnaround is coming on him, but there's just increasing evidence that maybe it's not. So last game he faces the Braves and he starts off okay, and then he ends up with a 6 innings, 7 hits, 5 Ks, 4 runs. Just a pretty disappointing outing. I think he only throws like in the 80s in pitches. You know, the game before that, he has you thinking he's got it turned around. 8 Ks, 6 innings against the Brewers. But then the game before that, it's against the Marlins, 3 Ks in 7 innings. So he's just all over the place. So I think I'm just not sure if it's he if there actually is something wrong. And we've all just kind of been late to the party and figuring it out, or yeah, I'm torn here because our system is not going to be able to make a good judgment here about him because we're just not totally sure what the issue is. Well, let me ask you this: would you do, you know, on FanDuel the difference? So you would you do Whistler straight up over Harvey, like raw points, or you think it's more like a price play?
On FanDuel, I think it's more of a price play. It's over $2,000 difference, and I think they can put up similar numbers. But on DraftKings, I think I just go ahead and take the risk with Harvey. The price difference isn't that high, under 1K. And Harvey does have more upside than Whistler. So I'd go ahead with Harvey and Lester combo on DraftKings.
Yeah, I think I'm down with that line of thinking. It makes sense. Harvey is a very difficult guy at this point to stomach, even in a good matchup against the Braves. His money line, like if this had been the first game of the season, Matt Harvey versus the Braves, it would have been like Matt Harvey like -230, I think, or somewhere
Yes.
around there. And today it's -155, which tells you a lot about what. I think that the tide is turning on Harvey, though it hasn't totally turned for him yet. But I'm, you know, not to like totally guess lines, but I would say if we were opening the season, this would be, you know, Harvey 230 at a 7 over under, and now it's 7.5 at -155, and that's because there's increasing distrust with if he's just like broken, like there's something just wrong with him possibly. Tell me your thoughts. Another guy that's kind of popped back up after a long hiatus, Tim Lincecum. He's a money line favorite. He's a -132 with a run line dropping against the A's today. The A's have the second lowest expected run, third lowest expected runs on the day after the Braves and the Marlins. What do you think about Lincecum? One.
I like Lincecum from a matchup perspective. I'm just not rostering him because Oakland is a team that does not strike out at all. And last game, Lincecum actually faced Oakland. He only had 2 strikeouts in 6 innings. So I'm projecting more or less the same thing, maybe 4 strikeouts in 6 innings. But I don't think he's a guy worth rostering because there's no upside.
This is a situation, yeah, I agree with you. There's no upside. This is a situation I don't really bet baseball too often, just because for the same reason. It's just the variance is high. The situation I could see, I'm actually like kind of shocked about this, about where the line opened on him. Lincecum was not good in his first start. He was six innings. You know, I know that he didn't allow really any runs, like one run, but the xFIP, even just from one start, is 5.34. I know it's one game in six innings, so it doesn't really tell you a huge piece of information, but the lack of Ks, you know, people were, the hard contact rate against him in that game was pretty high. He just wasn't getting a lot of swing and misses. I would easily bet the other side of this, bet Oakland here on both the run, like the run line and probably the money line, because I think sometimes Vegas gets a little enamored with ERA. And when you look at Lincecum, when he has, you know, like he pitches the first game, he gets the win, the ERA just on its surface looks good. And I think, you know, Vegas, it doesn't always have like our intentions in mind when they set lines, right? Like they don't like want, their goal is not to be the most accurate in terms of overall outcome. It's to be the most accurate in terms of what they think the bets will come in on either side of it. And this is a situation where I'd probably take a little closer look at it, but on my first glance, I think I would hammer Oakland on both sides of both the run line and the money line here, because Lincecum I just don't think he's just not the old Tim Lincecum. All right, let's talk bats. We obviously have Coors going here, and we talked about the pricing. Rather than, I don't think we need to go, you know, we're at 22 minutes right now. I don't know if we need to go position by position again. I think taking a grander look at sort of where some of the bats are and where some of the teams that we want to go up against. What, you know, we have the Diamondbacks and Rockies. Diamondbacks coming in just under 6 expected runs, Rockies at 4.7. And after that, there's not a ton of offense predicted. If you're going to stack here, let's talk a couple things. Let's talk about a couple different stacks we can look at and maybe where you're going to allocate some of your dollars today. Is there a team that you're sort of honing in on, or, you know, walk me through your thought process here?
I know the Coors is going to be popular stack, but I don't know what you think, but I kind of like a Cubs stack against Wei Yan Chen. The Cubs hit lefties well, Chris Bryant, Rizzo can hit lefties, Ben Zobrist. So I kind of like the idea of stacking the Cubs against flyball pitcher Chen.
Yeah, the park hurts him a little, hurts them a little bit. Their run line is lower than I would expect, considering Chen hasn't been really great this year. You know, only 4.2 expected runs. The guys you mentioned, like Zobrist, is better against lefties, so that helps him. Bryant, obviously. You know, Javier Baez has a nice price. Our system, that's like our system's new Johnny Peralta. Like the big joke last year was we just recommended Johnny Peralta like every single day for an entire season. And people like, it kind of became a running joke near the end, but Javier Baez is like that guy now. Like if he's kind of anywhere near the top, you know, the top seven of the lineup, he just shows up at shortstop. Yeah, I don't mind the Cubs. I'm a little concerned about the park. I think I probably, if I was going to get away from the Diamondbacks, which is hard, but it's important to remember here that the sites do correct. So it's not like the Diamondbacks took a 20% or something like that price jump. And I'm just not sure that it's going to make sense in the end to like pay all the way up for all their bats, but I'm going to need to see how their lineup shakes out. Tell me what you think about the Padres, the game that's going in Great American Park, the Padres and Reds. That game is projected at about 9.5 total runs, pretty even, 4.8 for the Reds, 4.7 for the Padres. What do you think? Can you, you know, do you like the Cubs over either of the teams there, or can you find some value in that game?
I think you can definitely find some value in between those two games. John Lamb and Christian Fedrick are both inconsistent.
That's putting it nicely, yeah.
They're both nobody's favorite to win this game. It's a pick 'em, so that's definitely interesting. But I like a guy like Derek Norris at catcher, Matt Kemp. And then for the Reds, you can go with Jay Bruce, Joey Votto, especially with this game being at Cincinnati.
Right, the at Cincinnati thing is the key for me here. One Great American Ballpark is really overlooked in terms of how much power you can get out of there. So if you look at park factors from last year, for 2015, park factor, the home run park factor, the Rockies were at 113, so Coors is at 113. And Great American Ballpark is at 113 too. So, obviously some of that is team dependent and kind of who comes in there, but they're pretty close together in terms of overall power expectation. At Coors, I would, trend it definitely trends better over the whole. So, like their basic park factor is the Rockies is much higher, but just in terms of like raw power, you do get a lot of power expectation coming out of Great American Ballpark, and the prices don't correct there as much as they do for Coors. So it's just interesting thing. It's interesting to me. I like both sides of that game, just coming a little bit like for instance, the Reds are projected for more runs than the Rockies today, and the Padres are projected for the same amount of runs as the Rockies today, and they're just not coming anywhere close to the same prices. So that's a game that I'm really going to take a look at, especially when the lineups come out. And I just like rooting against John Lamb just because like the haircut and like the overall weird cowboy look that he brings to that he brings to the mound. I mean, are you on the same page here, or am I like totally off base?
No, I'm on the same page. I think both teams are in play. You mentioned how good Great American Ballpark is for hitters. It's definitely the complete opposite of Petco, so I'll have my share of guys on both sides. And let me ask you something. Does John Lamb remind you of Noah Syndergaard?
Like in looks wise,
Looks wise.
yeah, it's a really weird thing with baseball players. I was baseball players. It's almost like they live so much in a bubble that they just like they all just kind of like nod their heads at like the way like they all look. I'm not a big looks guy. Like obviously, I'm not like vain like this, but like there's just like no other sport where like there's like some of like the weird fashion stuff. I don't know if it's because they are forced to wear the same weird uniforms all day and they just like need to make some kind of statement with the rest, like the other things that they have, like their face or hair or like arms or whatever. But some of the styles coming out of these guys, they just look so crazy. Like they was like Lamb legit looks like a serial killer. Like I don't, it's just really, really, really weird. I don't know if, like I said, like you live in that baseball bubble in the locker room your whole life and having to wear tight, stretchy pants and just like and just be forced to wear hats all the time and something happens to their brains or something, but maybe it's an overstatement. I don't know. All right, getting off the track a little bit here. So we talked about, you like the Cubs today. I'm with you sort of with the general conceit behind that pick. The power expectation coming out of the Padres and Reds is intriguing. We're going to have to make a decision about whether we pay up for the Diamondbacks and the Rockies, especially. I could see that line moving up, ticking up a little bit over the course of the day. Are there any bats to get excited about? Like, I know some of these Mets guys are coming on the little cheaper side. I know you mentioned Whistler. Can you get behind any Mets bats today?
I can't.
Okay.
Maybe Cespedes, but not even confident saying that.
All right. Yeah, I think we pretty much covered most of the general ideas behind these two slates. I know we didn't go position by position today. I think that's okay on a day like today because I think we are just more honed in on teams with especially with some of the pitching plays crystallizing early. I don't think I'm going to get away from the four pitchers we mentioned today. Nick's been crushing it with his long ball article this year. He came to us and said, "I want to predict every single day guys that are going to hit home runs." And I laughed and said, "How can you do that? It's no way to predict it." And then he's just reeled off like five straight days of picking. And by the way, and just if you haven't read these articles, it's not like, you'll see some sites like, "Oh, here's our long ball targets," and they'll just have like 25 guys. And of course, one of those guys is going to hit a home run. But Nick's kind of hones it down to two or three guys. So two or three guys each day, and one of them is hitting a home run. Trumbo last night, I think Cespedes the day before. There was another one the day before. So give me a little. Can you give us a preview on of who you think might go yard today?
Yeah, the one guy I'm looking at, I know I mentioned the Cubs earlier. The ballpark's not in their favor, but I really like Chris Bryant going up against fly ball pitcher Wei Yan Chen. Chris Bryant has a 254 ISO against left-handed pitchers in his career. So I think he's probably the guy that's going to lead my long ball article.
And it's worth noting here that, it's easy to just pick guys at Coors, even Great American. So I like the other thing that Nick's been doing is kind of going a little off board, I would say, where these are guys with good situations where they might not be totally at the front of the consciousness. I mean, anyone could say Goldschmidt today. That's easy. Goldschmidt in Coors, that makes a lot of sense. So I like the Bryant pick as just a little contrarian play, especially for that. later slate. And while we were talking, actually, a couple lineups came in. The Red Sox, this is actually going back to the early slate, but the Red Sox and Tigers lineups both came in. Victor Martinez is out of the lineup today, so, and Moya moves up to sixth. So, and excuse me, I'm saying and a lot, but Jose Iglesias moves up to the second position. So there's the Tigers become a little more interesting today just because of the batting lineup movement around. Upton moves into the cleanup spot. All those guys moving up a bit will help their overall projected points. And also the Red Sox lineup came in. Hanley Ramirez gets dumped down to seventh. Chris Young moves up to fifth. Jackie Bradley in the sixth spot, but most of what they're putting out there is pretty in line. One guy that's interesting actually is Marco Hernandez, mostly because he's like free on DraftKings and he's a multi-position guy. Someone that you might want to take a look at. He's hitting ninth, which is never fun, but if you are just looking for a cheap guy so you can stack some all the rest of the, you know, high-priced guys, you could probably do a little worse than Hernandez simply because the Red Sox lineup is so great. Nick, before we jump off, is there anything I should be concerned about with weather today?
Yeah, there's a couple situations to look out for. I was reading the excellent article.
Oh, Mark Paquette. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. So definitely check that out after you listen to the Vince Colley of podcast, which is Doug Moore.
I can't tell if that's like a compliment or if it's like you're making fun of me for being super long-winded and not letting anyone else talk. So I will just
the legend.
He was a super long-winded legend. All right. What are some of the weather things we got going today?
There's a couple situations. I know you really like the Cincinnati game, but right now the weather looks really bad.
Okay.
Looks like it's going to be heavy rain, precipitation, 70% around game time. So that's definitely one game to look out for. The other game is Pittsburgh, San Francisco, and Detroit, Seattle, both around 45% precipitation. So those are two games in the early slate to look out for.
I get a little less worried about the early slate of games because they have all day to play. So that's like the only reason I don't sweat weather as much, unless it's, I'm thinking about the pitcher. But definitely the Cincinnati thing is something to keep an eye on as the day goes on, because that is a pretty important game. All right, that's it for us for Thursday. It's been fun. Get ready for a double slate of games. We'll be back again tomorrow for a full Friday evening slate. Remember, head over to dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Take care of all your MLB DFS needs. Free articles, stacks, pitchers, everything you need from a content side. Plus, you go over and grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. That will you hit calculate. And pretty much all the considerations we talked about today on the podcast, batting order, you know, platoon splits, Vegas lines, everything you need is kind of baked in into our formulas over there. You hit calculate, you get 25 lineups for you to plug and play on FanDuel and DraftKings. Nick, man, I'm going to be looking for Chris Bryant tonight to go yard. And I guess we'll talk again either tomorrow or pretty soon. One.
Sounds good, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Take it easy.